CliffCentral.com.
Yes, the Cardigans and my favorite game. This is a cool band. That's the way you start your Friday. All right, Imabulalelio, you saw these guys live once.
I did see them live.
Where was that?
Copenhagen, and I will never forget that night.
Yeah, they're a great band, huh?
Oh, phenomenal live show. And she's electric.
What's her name again? I can never remember.
Oh, forget. But
yeah, it's all right.
What a performer. What a
performer. Yes, yes. There was music before Cardi B, believe it or not. Don't laugh.
I don't know. Those
great
days.
Swedish band.
All right, so you got things to do, people to see, places to go this morning, and you are our chief VIP guest. So if you've just woken up and you're ready to start your day, we've got some news for you. We'll get to some of the big stories in the news. I saw something which irritated me a little bit yesterday. I saw John Steenhuisen from the DA being interviewed on SABC News. It seems these days you cannot voice your opinion unless you have some kind of a written mandate from everybody in the country.
What makes you say that?
Well, the presenter, Flo Letwaba, had this thing. She had a bug up her ass about how John Steenhuisen must show us who he speaks on behalf of. Now, this is a person who actually has a mandate because he and his party have a couple of million votes that got them into parliament. But like I was asked nonstop by two people on a debate show I was on recently, who do I speak on behalf of? And it seems like they're entirely okay, whoever is asking these questions, they're entirely okay with the president speaking on behalf of the country just because he got 12 million out of 60 million votes.
Mm.
But everyone else needs to please prove their creds. This is very annoying and insulting, and frankly, I think journalists need to go back to journalism school to figure out precisely how an interview works. When you ask someone for their opinion and they say to you that they have been in consultation with their voters, with their audiences, with the people they talk, you can take it for granted that they're not making that up. Otherwise, don't have them on your show if you think there are trust issues. But listen to this. It's very annoying and frustrating, and then we'll get to some of the more important stories, all right?
That you had that, you know, South Africans are begging for clarity on the way forward under the lockdown. Which South Africans are you speaking for? And which conversations are you having, and with whom and where?
Well, I'm having conversations with South Africans who are frankly fed up with the lack of
which
information
ones, sir, and which ones and where? This is not a serious question for a news broadcast. That woman should be fired from her job. She's shitted her job. You don't ask someone, who are these South Africans, where and why? You say, okay, well, tell us about their concerns. That's why I've got you on the show.
Why is her position different to Jane Dutton?
Well,
because she's expressing an opinion.
Correct.
Because this is my problem with us in the intellectual space, is we need to be careful. The questions we ask determine the answers we will get. So just by framing her question like she's asking, she's expressing an opinion. Mm-hmm. So if Jane Dutton couldn't do it, why is she not? Because she shouldn't be the news.
But it's worse than that, because what she's done is she's revealed that her journalism schooling involved her being put in a class of ideologues, where she was told that your opinion only counts if you represent a certain group. That's what she's asking, really. She's saying, which South Africans? Listen again to what she says at the beginning of that, because it's very telling. It's more telling about her than it is about John Steenhuisen. And the fact that this person is taken seriously in a news role is outrageous to the people of South Africa, and I mean all of us, because we deserve news people who know what they're doing, not rank amateurs.
That you had that, you know, South Africans are begging for clarity on the way forward under the lockdown. Which South Africans are you speaking for? And which conversations are you having, and with whom and where?
I mean, what a question. You really are a complete amateur if you're asking questions like that, frankly. So I want Flo Letwaba to be fired. or I want her to apologize for being so shit at her job. But either way, the fact that the SABC News still has any viewers is beyond me. And it's probably because those people have no options, which makes it even worse because you're abusing your audience. I mean, who do you speak on behalf of? You were probably given this job because you're a diversity hire, or because people feel sorry for you, or because you're all the SABC could afford. I know what that place is like.
The reason we have to hold her to a higher standard before we get worried about the identity politic is that the weather of our consciousness is shaped by these people. So when they ask questions like that, our intellect as a society dips.
Yes, thank you. Thank you.
You cannot have intellectual. She's shaped the conversation from there.
Yeah, I needed to play that for you and get it off my chest, because it's just very annoying. And it was going around on social media yesterday. Journalists mustn't have people on the show if they don't think that they bring credibility or a mandate with them. And a political leader, by virtue of the fact that they're a political leader who has seats in parliament, already has a mandate. You don't need to check those creds, idiot. All right, let's get to Leanne's much more important story about OnlyFans. Now, I know that this is something which Sia is much more interested in than politics. I know that this is a potential area for many of us to find work, right, Leanne?
Yeah, this is just up Sia's streets. These women...
Hey, leave my name out of both of your mouths, please.
Wait, Leanne,
I am in my mother's house.
Are you speaking on behalf of?
These women, you know.
which people are you speaking on behalf of, like Mbulelo says? How dare you?
I'm speaking on behalf of all women, especially those who are making thousands selling nudes of themselves on OnlyFans.
But it's not just women, huh?
It's mostly women.
Is it?
It's men who want these photographs of women, you know, wherever the demand is.
Right. Supply and demand. All right. So what's going on OnlyFans?
So there's a cluster of women who are doing really well on the platform.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, there is one woman, Lauren Elizabeth, not her real name.
Yes.
Who's 24. She's from Northamptonshire.
Oh.
And her plans for the future are looking great. After lockdown, she's moving into her dream home worth £800,000.
Jesus.
Where she'll eventually have kids. Then she's going to buy rental homes because she knows that this doesn't have longevity. She's probably not going to do this forever.
No, because you can't really do OnlyFans at 65. Well spotted there, Einstein.
Maybe there might be an audience. You never know.
Yeah, exactly. They're those into MILFs and GILFs and things like that.
Oh,
the categories becomes a little bit smaller. But yeah, she's making a massive income. She's one of the most popular creators on the platform. In a good month, she makes in excess of £35,000. She's earning much more during lockdown, obviously.
Yes. People masturbating furiously.
And she's done this in 18 months. This was after she received a lot of DMs on Instagram asking whether she had an OnlyFans account.
If you're a good-looking person on Instagram, you're probably getting people asking you to start an OnlyFans. And then that's where you start this little business. And you sell them nudes and... Wow. Okay.
Exactly. Clever. And she talks about her previous life as if it was a complete bygone. She says mentally it was hell. She was working for a fashion designer. She also worked as a social media manager. And she said that was hell.
Yeah,
I mean,
that is hell.
Being working for a fashion designer and being a social media manager sounds okay in the list of jobs from plumber to pilot. But she's definitely doing a lot better now. So the platform has over 30 million users now and 450,000 creators.
Hmm.
Every 24 hours, 200,000 new users join the platform.
Nude users.
No, these are users, not necessarily the content.
Oh, the creators.
The creators, anywhere between 7,000 and 10,000 new creators every day.
You know, this is amazing because this did not exist. I don't know when OnlyFans came to be, but it's suddenly a thing, and it wasn't a thing a couple of months ago.
Well, it was actually set up initially as a space where influencers, or now called content creators, could make money by sending out like exclusive content, from cooking videos to comedy to celebrity workouts to a whole lot of fans who subscribe to their channels.
Jeez, it didn't take long for it to just become about sex, huh?
Yeah.
No, not at all. It is still the case, though. But the sex stuff is obviously taking over, and stuff of more of an adult nature.
Well, if you think about it, like, would you prefer to see people that you actually know, or people that actually exist as real people in the world, naked, or like random porn stars?
To each his own, but I mean, I don't want to see an average person.
I don't know. Again, it's I don't mean average category.
No, hold on. I don't mean average looking, Sia. I mean, really good looking people, but people who are actually, you know, they're real people in the world. They're not doing this for a living up to now. Now they're suddenly doing it for a living. It just adds a little layer of
fantasy.
You might meet a girl in Cape Town now, and you think, wow, she's really hot. And then you find out later on she's got an OnlyFans, and on there she's like putting pictures of her ass and everything else. And maybe you just want to short circuit the whole system and go, well, I don't need to get to know her or meet her friends first or any of that. I'll just go straight to her OnlyFans and pay to see her naked. It's all
both
about
is nice.
Efficiency, right? I mean, you can choose. You can have both.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's interesting. Yeah. All right. Leanne, you said that you reckon that people who don't have children might be working harder during the pandemic than people who do. And that's obviously because children are such a distraction. And I know all my friends who have kids at the moment are struggling their backsides off to just handle. They're juggling so many balls. The kids' education, the kids' meals, the entertaining the kids while they're trying to hold down a real job.
Yeah, I mean, if I look at my own partner, she has three kids. I think the oldest is just over 10 or, I don't know, 10 or 15, or I don't know how old children are. But,
nor do you care, evidently.
But, you know, immediately my mind goes to what hell she's going through at the moment.
Yes.
Trying to educate these three kids. She's not a teacher, and she's expected to carry on with her normal job. But then you think to yourself, well, it was a decision that they made to have children and to have as many children. It can be more stressful even for single parents, or if one parent is still working outside of the home. But do we as single people who don't have kids feel like we should be taking on more of the burden in this case?
What
do we feel sympathetic towards that?
I have a little bit of sympathy. I know Greg, who's our GM, he has a little kid called Cody. How old's Cody now? He's approaching...
he's approaching 4 years old.
Seven or 11 or
nobody
something.
Nobody knows. Because Leanne and...
Mulela just said stressful years old. Insensitive person.
He's a little kid, and he's starting to, you know, he's starting to talk, and he's moving around the house, and he's like doing things on his own, and that's a lot of work. That kid needs constant supervision. And even though Greg and his wife are both at home together, like you can't lock the kid out of the room while you're on a Zoom conversation. He's going to come in every now and then, and he needs attention, and he needs looking after.
There is that, but then we look at the flip side. Being single and in lockdown comes with its own challenges and and anxiety. We see less of people, touching less of people, and also we have to do everything ourselves.
Stop making it about you, Leanne. What about you?
I don't have children who to wash the dishes, you know?
Yeah, I know. You can't put your kids to work.
I don't have anyone to take out the garbage.
Poor you. But you get to go to sleep when you want. You get to wake up when you want. You get to manage your life. You have space in your house. You don't have to share it with anyone. You don't have screaming and crying in the background. You don't have to entertain someone else. Oh, no. I'm not feeling sorry for you and me and Sia and Bulelo right now.
So you reckon that it's good for us to pick up the slack if parents during this time are battling.
If you can, I think here's the gospel for all of lockdown, all right? Where you can help, you must help. If you can, if you're in a position to help someone financially, help them. If you're in a position to help them with tasks at work, time, data, whatever it might be that they're trying to do, and they need you, and you have extra capacity, please, let's all help each other. There is no point in being selfish right now. It's not going to put you in a good position post-lockdown. It's going to make people think that you are selfish. If you have spare time and spare capacity, and you can do something for someone else, please just do it. Don't ask any questions. They will be grateful forever. People are going through a very tough time right now.
The way I look at it, there's being selfish, sure. And then there's also just living the life that we've chosen to live. And if I'm brutally honest, and even this is just even more than a workspace, I don't like the fact that there is this double standard when it comes to parents and people without kids. It's like the same way you chose to have children is the same way I chose to rather say I want my free time and I enjoy something that you might even see as frivolous and banal as lying on the couch and catching up with my reality TV. So I'm sorry if my sympathy doesn't extend to when we say we've set time for... I'm not sorry. When we've set time for 11:30 and you are now sleepy from the night before because you were doing homework and whatnot. I was also on a Zoom call or a house party with my friends because that's what we all chose.
Sia is totally unsympathetic. Let's be clear about this. Does not.
No.
Sia does not give
a
damn.
I totally see Sia's point.
I don't.
It all sounds like that bullet's been in the chamber for a while, Sia.
Leanne and Sia are both.
Okay.
To me, it seems like I thought to myself at one stage, do I really want to have children? Do I want to have people relying on me financially? Do I want to not be able to go on a trip when I want to? And I decided not to. So why must I now pay for other people's decisions to have children?
Well, you've got supporters because here is Eleanor says, screw people with kids. In normal times, they're so sanctimonious. Now they can't outsource parenting to schools. The sensible among us must also pick up the slack for them at home as well as in the office. Nopity, nope, nope, she says.
Yes!
Fucking around there from Eleanor. Okay, everyone must just get this herd immunity. Look at Israel's number and they're opening and even the kindergartens are opening. That's a frustrated message from Ruth this morning. This one comes from Bazitsana who says, fuck that sympathy. We're taking no more of their work just because we don't have children. They can do the work they're meant to do.
Sure.
And Leanne Moll, I'm getting a message here from Sbo who says the gays are also dominating on OnlyFans, Leanne, so pay attention, please.
I see.
Kala van Vestesen says, Gareth, I watched that debate for the first time last night and I only have one comment. Your hair looks shits. Yes, I know. I need a haircut. Thank you so much. Steenhuisen should have just said to that woman, the blacks who smoke Rothmans Red 4 times a day with tea, no sugar, when that woman asked. Now, that's a good answer. This guy should be your spin doctor, John Steenhuisen. Craig, what a great answer. The blacks who smoke Rothmans Red 4 times a day with tea, no sugar. I love that.
Or like the cigarettes that happened to fall into my hands the other day, which are called Pacific Blue.
Yeah. Somebody is crying out for a Leanne Moll story. We haven't had any unbelievable story from you this week, Leanne. Is that because you've been in lockdown?
Yeah, look, I mean, I try and make sure that my life is falling apart just for your entertainment. But sometimes I'm unlucky enough for nothing to happen to me.
Oh, wow.
I'll tell you what, here's a story that's entertaining.
Oh, yay.
Do you remember last week I said that I was willing to accept any DMs from people who wanted to help me out with alcohol or anything like that?
Sure.
And remember I said to you I did get a message from someone and I was setting up a little appointment.
Yes. Well, don't bust them for heaven's sake.
No, I definitely won't. But I had a visitor.
Yes.
And
was it a he or a she?
She was just amazing. She said, you know, I've been a fan of yours since when I used to drive my kids to school.
Oh, wow.
And I've just known you for years. Mm-hmm. And this is just such a great opportunity. She came to my house.
Oh, no.
She, I promise you, she had this beautiful gift bag.
Oh.
With two bottles of Alto Rouge, which is absolutely good wine. A bottle of Prosecco.
Yes.
Two loaves of absolutely delicious fresh Turkish bread.
Oh. This is fantastic. You know, she did you feel a little bit bad taking all of this?
Not really, no.
No, you didn't care, right?
No, you know what? She was so grateful to do it, and it was, we talk about acts of kindness. Yeah. It really actually warmed my heart. That is something that I will remember all the time.
I think you're just excited about the wine.
Oh.
Well, that too, obviously. I mean, that's number one.
But what an incredible person. This woman is amazing. I don't know your name, ma'am, and we're not going to announce it on air, but no. Wow, what a winner you are.
Gee, I know. It was just, I felt loved and cared for.
Well, you are, so Leanne. You know, we have the most incredible audience here, and there are such amazing people. And this is the great thing about a crisis, is you really figure out how good and how bad people are. You get to the bare bones with people, and you can see immediately what their real character is. And I just love that.
Mm. No. Now call me Jennifer Lopez, because I don't know how to act right now. Leanne, you invited a stranger to your house.
Yeah, of course. For wine, Leanne has done worse.
What if it wasn't someone who had good, pure intentions?
Leanne's opened an OnlyFans for people who will send her wine.
I was very strategic. I was outside. I had my dog for security, even though he's a toy breed.
Mm-hmm. But they still know your address.
Yeah.
You know what? She turned out to be.
She sounds super dangerous.
Such a fabulous person.
No, I mean, really. See, are you paranoid?
And
wait till you.
I would just say at least meet them somewhere else at a shopping center.
See, you can't go to shopping centers right now.
No, exactly. You can't do exchanges of goods.
Hang around in a parking lot
places.
In a shopping center?
Yes.
Oh, no.
I'm at Arcade 2B, and I'll see you there.
Oy, okay, well, now we know you're
Big Brother's watching.
You gave us this idea a few weeks ago.
Did I?
Yes. You said people are hooking up like that.
Well, a friend of mine said he was doing it. I think it's... But that was a date.
Okay, guys.
And he took the girl home to his place. They followed each other in convoy. Anyway, all right. So here's some messages. Babazi saying, ooh, shut up, all of you. Children are great. I have two of them, and I'm more productive now than when I was in the office. You lie, Babazi. You lie. Hey, Babazi.
Think of all the things you could have spent that money on.
Babazi's lying to us. Casey saying, good morning, team. I have two kids. I love them, but fuck it. You guys made the right choice. My wife is a constant nag, and my kids are always working on my nerves. I miss my lover at work. It's driving me insane. Casey, you animal.
I don't know what to say to that. I will not condone it, so I'll keep
quiet. Here's a message for you from Calm, who says, Sia, the killer knows your address.
See, that's it.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
They already know before you invite them.
Yes.
Yeah. So speaking of booze and what we're allowed to buy and not allowed to buy now,
mm-hmm.
I hope that you've all got a game plan, because there are stories of the fact that when booze sales open, it might be limited to people with the surnames that start with an A to an N going first.
All right.
I read
having
this.
Mondays and Wednesday, because if they do open on the 1st of June, it'll be a Monday.
Oy.
So
imagine the rush. Imagine the rush to buy booze. No, I think if you can hold out an extra week, please do, because that's just going to be a
shit. No one who can do that.
That's going to be a shit show. No, you have to. Just use some self-discipline. It will be the most unpleasant experience of 2020, and we've had some pretty ugly ones already.
Yeah, there's just going to be people spitting in each other's mouths for that first week, just everywhere.
Listen, please. I have a surname that starts with a C, so obviously I would be in that first group. I give it up voluntarily to anyone who wants it.
Maybe thank you could you. Sell your surname.
I'm going like to give imagine. You, I'll give you my list and you can go for me.
No, I'm not going. That's the whole point. I'm not going anywhere near it. First of all, I've told you I'm not afraid of this coronavirus, but that is one place where you're going to be getting more than coronavirus. All the sick, dirty, filthy, rancid people who've been living in a withdrawal coma for the last while are going to step out of their house and slide their asses down to the local liquor store. You do not want to
be so
there.
Excited. I even know what I'm wearing.
No, that's this is not a good idea. Please stay away as long as you can. Eesh. But we don't know when this is going to happen.
Can't hear you. La la la.
She's living in her fantasy world. All right.
She's going to wear that string of pearls again.
Oh, Jesus. All right. Well, listen, I mean, we're talking about fun stuff, but the reality is that for a lot of people, as we discussed with Lauren, the psychologist, just the other day, this is not an easy time. And we thought we'd call on a friend of ours who we've known for a long time, who's been a part of the CliffCentral.com family. She was the former host of a show called Beyond Ears and Eyes. She's also a life coach and... Oh, yeah, there's the music. That's your, yes, introduction. That's your introduction.
We start
music.
Our day on a happy note.
What was that? Is that your exercise song?
It's my alarm clock.
I'm talking about Liesl Tom, who is a life coach. She's also the former host of Beyond Ears and Eyes, and we've known you for a long time. So, Liesl, it's always nice to see you. If people are looking for a bit of help with their mental health right now, I think this is probably something you'll enjoy because – she's also dispensing some necessary advice during the lockdown that has helped a number of people, and she could probably help you and me today. So, Liesl, what do we do to make sure we don't lose our minds in the last few weeks of lockdown as we start to unwind and get back to some kind of crazy that we think is going to be normal?
Gareth, I think what is important is that we are dealing at the moment with cabin fever and with this echo chamber in our head if we have not been able to get on top of our thoughts. Because it's so easy to get negative thoughts. We all do. But, you know, they talk about a train of thought. You don't have to chase that train and you don't have to go catch it and ride it all the way to Durban. If you get a negative thought, you can just let it be. And that is one of the first things in mindfulness is let things be. Allow your thoughts to be there.
Yeah.
Don't judge them, but don't chase them. Don't try and analyze them to a marrow.
So we spoke this morning about something. Sia went into a bit of a depro this week, and he decided to wallow a little bit. No, I mean, he's a very happy guy, and most of the time Sia's very upbeat and full of positive energy. But everybody, unless you are a psychopath, you're going to have a downer at some point. And it's okay to be there, and you've got to, as you say, let it be, even if it's a downer, right?
Yes. You know, I was explaining to Sia yesterday that we have this median of emotions, neutral. And we as humans are supposed to be above that line. We're supposed to feel ecstasy. But likewise, we are supposed to feel the bottom of that curve. We are supposed to feel those down emotions. We are supposed to feel negative. What you said is important. We don't have to wallow in it. Wallowing in a negative emotion is a choice. Feeling a negative emotion, letting it go is absolutely normal, but staying there is...
But Sia did like to wallow because he doesn't do this often. So he said he made a pity playlist. He sat in his room. He lit one candle. He made everything dark. It sounds to me like there's a problem, but he snapped out of it fairly quickly. So do you think that's okay? It's almost like he's gone on a little adventure.
You know, Gareth, the one thing I tell my clients is whatever emotion is coming up to you, just allow it to express in your body, because negative emotions are a bit like toddlers. If you try and push it away, if you try and ignore it, it comes again and again and again. It wants attention. And very often, at the most inopportune time, when you're not concentrating on pushing away that emotion, it gets the better of you. And that's why we get people bursting into tears in board meetings, because they're not dealing with their emotions. So what Sia did was actually the best thing he could have done. He allowed the emotion mm-hmm. to be felt, and then it goes away.
Yeah. Well, luckily, you know, it shouldn't last so long. For some people, though, it does. It sticks around. So let's do some proper practical tips that people can do in a routine and in a new dispensation, the way that we're working from home, we're trying to do things under lockdown. What are the practical guides that we could use?
Well, I think the first thing is find a routine and stick to it. You have to be a little bit of a disciplinarian with yourself. It's so easy when there's no work to go to, to sleep in late, to, you know, slounge around in your pajamas the whole day. Don't do that. Stick to a routine and go to sleep and wake up at a reasonable time. Stay with your schedule. Stay as close to your normal, whatever normal was, routine as you possibly can. And then, you know,
and like we said before, shave your beard, especially if you're a woman.
it's my stubble showing. You see, when we connect with people via the internet, they can still see us. If you put off your camera, you're damn rude. So, you know, show up, dress up, and like Gareth said, shave.
God's sake, keep yourself tight. And
it's, you know, it's not only about the way you look. It is how it makes you feel when you look presentable. When you look in the mirror and you see that person and you think, yay, I've got this day. Get out of the house for at least 30 minutes a day. Remember, vitamin D is supposedly one of the things that help our bodies fight coronavirus. So, Gareth, you're not scared of corona, but, you know, just stock up on vitamin D a little bit and, you know, you might not even get it. But get out of the house. Also, cabin fever is a real thing. So get up, get some sun, and find ways to move. I said to someone the other day, she said to me, yeah, but I don't have any way to exercise. Even if you have to take a pretend skipping rope and jump up and down with your pretend skipping rope for 100 times, that is still exercise. If we don't move, we're struggling to fall asleep. Look, we don't move nearly as much as we used to. So get moving in whichever way you can. Even if you're like me, talk with your hands and you move your arms the whole day.
Yeah, do that. I mean, for God's sake, also don't lie there and eat packets of chips and get more and more obese and unhappy. And that's just going to put you in a very bad place when we do have to eventually get out of the house, because you're going to feel horrible about yourself.
You know, if you want to have a packet of crisps, give yourself the permission to have it, but don't give yourself permission to do it every single day. Like I said in the beginning, you have to be a little bit of a disciplinarian with yourself. Okay. You have to be your own best friend and your own parent. So the other thing is, Gareth, you also have to reach out to other people. You know, we live in this amazing time where we have all this technology. There is very little excuse not to see people face to face. You might not be able to touch them, but I mean, I can touch your nose here on the screen if I wanted to.
Yeah, I mean, I think you're a bit crazy if you start doing that.
You didn't see what I just did you? But reach out to people, text them if you don't have, you know, data to do Skype or FaceTime calls, but just reach out to people, especially who are alone. Just imagine for a second, your grandmother is alone in her little retirement home. That must be horrible. If you have any joie de vivre, any joy to give, now is the time to share it with the people you love.
Yeah, plus, I mean, grandma could be taken out by the COVID, so you might as well make use of the time.
Oh my God.
Oh Lord. Why did it have to go there?
Sia, have you met him? Okay. Then something, Garrett, that you said, eat well, yeah. Eat properly, eat healthy food and stay hydrated. You know, if you don't drink enough water, you're going to get headaches. We're sitting in front of screens the whole day.
Yeah.
We are, if we don't take care of our bodies, we are going to feel the consequences. And then, you know, we just spoke about the old people. Spectrum.
Sorry, you dropped out there for a second. You were talking about the old people?
I said the opposite side of the spectrum are the children.
Yes. Now, we were all just talking about how lucky we are to not have kids at the moment. And then I saw a tweet, which is pretty mean, but someone messaged this to us just now. Someone on Twitter saying, what a time to not have kids. Not to brag, but what a time.
Well, you know, I do have children, and it is the most amazing time to share with them. But people need to understand that just as we as adults are struggling to cope, children are also struggling to cope. They might not have the ability to communicate it to us,
yeah.
But they are, and they're picking up on what we are saying. They're picking up bits and pieces. So talk to your children, play with them. That little bit of extra time that you're saving by not driving to the office, give your child a hug. Get him or her on your lap and just cuddle, because we do have a bit more time. Yeah. Use it wisely, and then expect your children to act up, you know?
Well, kids also need to know what's going on. And sometimes parents aren't explaining to kids why things are different, and that makes them even more uneasy. And then they do act out.
I was actually reading just last night about children who are having nightmares amid the coronavirus.
Yeah.
One little girl explained how she was in her classroom in her dream and everything was dirty and she couldn't touch anything. And that just shows you how she's dealing with the idea of this invisible monster in her dreams.
Wow.
Yeah. Oh, Shane. Yes, obviously dealing with the not touching and the subconscious mind is an amazing thing. And, you know, we tend to negate children and we tend to think that they are not where we are at. But they are of equal worth. Their soul is of equal worth. And they might not have all the tools we have, but they are just as smart and sometimes smarter than adults. And to explain to a child in an age-appropriate way what is going on is, that's one of the small mercies you can show them. Don't just expect them to shut up and be seen, you know?
A quick question for you, Liesl. This is from Morgan. She says, I'm pretty sure this lady, that's you, Liesl, 100%,
oh, I'm a lady.
100% wears a charm bracelet. Is that true?
It's not true, Morgan. I... I'd love to know what the story behind that was, Morgan, if you'd send Gareth another one.
No, I think she might have been a listener to Beyond Ears and Eyes. And I mean, you guys used to have crystal healers and all kinds of people on that show.
We still have those crystals in the studio.
I was just going to ask, are the crystals still in the studio?
Oh, yeah. You wouldn't dream of getting rid of them. I might not be the most spiritual person in the world, but I'm shit scared that something will come and get me if I mess with your crystals.
Yes, I will come and get you. And you are a wise man.
All right, so Liesl, just talk to us quickly about, there's no social life, really. I mean, you can go on like video conferencing like we're doing now, but
yes.
People don't have a social life right now. And some of us, whether we're okay, we've seen our families maybe we're spending time with our kids, maybe we are occasionally talking to work colleagues in meetings like, you know, the video conferencing. Mm. But there's no social life. We used to go out, we used to meet each other at restaurants and coffee shops and go to bars and do things that were fun on weekends. People aren't doing that right now. So is there a remedy?
You know, Gareth, it's going to sound like a platitude, but my answer is become your own best friend.
Oh, my
this
God.
This is...
Oh, yo.
You know?
I don't know what you're telling me.
I like it, Liesl.
You don't want to be your own best friend, why the hell would I want to be your friend? You know?
Amen.
You don't know what you're asking.
Now, Gareth, what you're saying is very true, and it's a difficult time for people. However, we are almost at the end of it. Can you feel it? Huh?
Can you feel it? Papa, can you feel it? No, I can't feel it yet, and I know I will get excited when we are able to get there, but it might take a long time, huh? And it might also, let's say that they suddenly let us out of lockdown and everything resumes. People aren't going to suddenly meet up at restaurants and bars and coffee shops like they used to. It's going to take a long time for people to get back to any kind of ordinary social interaction. So this is the way of the future for a long time.
I also expect that we're going to have a lot of distrust, and people are not going to be as open and as warm, and especially, and hopefully, not as touchy-feely as we were before. I mean, yesterday when Sia and I spoke, he said he wants to give me a hug. And I said, well, I'm guessing that you are a very tactile person. You want to touch other people. I'm also like that. We will have to rein ourselves in. And you'll have to be very careful who you invite into your personal space.
Or not. And you just, you know, like I think I might have already had this COVID. I don't know for sure. But if people want to shake my hand.
You can have yourself tested.
Ach, no, because then government will put me in a quarantine or something. That's all I need.
No, but if you've already had it, you will have the antibodies and it will show up.
Yeah,
you can find out.
Maybe.
Gareth, are you scared of government?
Jesus, are you kidding?
It's crazy times we're living in, huh? I'm so happy I don't need t-shirts and flip-flops. That's all I'm saying.
Hey, do you indulge in any... Let's say that you've had this time now for the first time ever. You get into your hobbies, you do some fun things around the house that you enjoy, but you also do one or two things that you maybe know that aren't the best for you, but you're doing it like you maybe play a computer game way too much, or you sit in, you watch TV or you watch movies for like hours without getting up. You have a bowl of popcorn there or whatever. You're allowed to be a little bit self-indulgent in all of this too, right? Especially on weekends.
Absolutely. And I think if you haven't done it, you only have 2 more weeks before you possibly might have to go out. So do it now. But again, there are limits. And, you know, I did in the beginning, I watched a lot more TV until one day I realized, geez, I'm wasting all this time watching things that are not making my life better. So again, be the disciplinarian with yourself. Put boundaries. Stick to a routine.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good advice. Listen, you've been full of good advice today. How's your lockdown going? Are you having an okay time?
Gareth, I'm afraid if I say what a great time I'm having, it'll sound like I'm bragging.
No, you're allowed.
But, wow.
Look, you're very self-contained, and I think that there was one thing that we all kind of laughed at and I made fun of. But you need to be fairly self-aware, and you need to also be comfortable with yourself to get through this okay. A lot of people aren't, though, Liesl. A lot of people are so dependent on external stimuli, on other people, on something completing them because they're broken or because they're not whole. And those two are different things, but for some people it's not so easy to get to that point, and they are having the toughest time of all.
Absolutely, Gareth. And I always say there are two ways you can learn. You can either learn through pain and fear, which is what we are having now, or you can learn through love. But if you want to learn through love, you have to be acutely aware. And awareness is hard work. Mm. So, yes, I am having a good time because I am aware, but I know what it feels like not to be there. And it is hard work. The first step is to just become aware of what am I thinking? What are my thoughts and how much energy am I giving them? Because as I said earlier, you know, that train of thought, if I have a negative train of thought, I don't have to catch it. I can just, it's just a thought. A thought is not a reality. A thought is just a thought.
Yeah, listen, I mean, it's easier said than done. In some cases, people do need professional help. And that's why we had Lauren on the other day, who, you know, if you go and listen to that podcast and you go and look for the link, we've put a whole bunch of organizations that can help people who are in serious trouble right now. But if you are able to make the best use of this time and improve yourself and do all the positive things and help others, like we spoke about just now, then it can be a very grounding occasion for you, and you can use it to the best of your abilities and for good, which I think is really important. And I'm glad that we had a chat to you this morning about this. I love talking to you, Liesl. Tom, it's always nice to see you, and we'll chat soon.
Cheers, Garrett.
Keep having a happy time during lockdown, and those people who are jealous must just realize that they can be there too. All right, very good. I think Leanne has just started drinking again. Leanne, are you all right?
I'm waiting for possibly the 1st of June.
Did you just go, eh? Do you know what I did the other day? I needed to do something different because I'm in a bit of a routine, which is, I think Liesl just said it's good. I decided instead of having a usual shower at night, I had a bath. I did a Sia Sangweni.
No.
What?
If you did a Sia Sangweni,
yes,
you would have eaten oranges in the bath.
No, I didn't.
So did you do that?
I did not eat in the bath. However, I took my phone into the bathroom. I played some music. I didn't light candles like Sia does. I didn't put like bubble bath into it.
Did you have a wank?
No, I didn't.
What? Fair question.
Leanne, yeah. you are a depraved lunatic. You really are the worst. So I had a really nice bath, and then I got into bed and I was warm, which was nice. I mean, it was a cold night the other night. So I that was my little treat. And you can do things like that to yourself, right?
All by yourself.
All right, Sia. Oh, this is your second song for the morning.
I'm on a roll.
So George Meany is with us, and George is wearing his pajamas, but he's also got one of those eye. Do you wear that eye mask when you sleep?
Not a chance.
No. Oh. Very cool, though. It looks like it was made out of one of Winnie Madikizela Mandela's headdresses.
Oh, damn.
He just got rid of it.
George, I actually like it.
All right. So, George, we've just been talking about pajamas. And have you done anything in the last couple of weeks? Because you've been under lockdown like all of us. Have you done anything that was like really self-indulgent, like have a luxurious bath or watch TV for a whole day or anything like that?
As a matter of fact, yes. About 2 weeks ago, I had a long bath.
Good.
I usually shower, so that that was odd. I sat with bubbles and had this. I don't know if you know what a bath buddy is.
No. Why don't you tell us before we start thinking?
Oh, you are fancy. I've always wanted those.
What's a bath buddy?
It's made of wood. I actually made it myself, but you can buy them. It's made of wood, and it fits over the edge of your bath and leans on the other edge of the bath, and it's got a groove in it. You can put your iPad in it.
Oh.
And you can, it's got a slot. You can put a glass of wine if you want.
Sure, look at this. Sia, do you know that? You don't have one of those, Sia?
No, I just have a bit of a side table that I move into the bathroom for easy access.
Oh my god, all right. So George, what's happening this week?
Well, there are new rules for buying, selling, and the servicing of cars. Only can open their doors under level 4 lockdown. We submitted at the beginning of this month documents to the government. I hear myself echo.
Yeah, just bring your mic level down just a little bit, then we're good.
There we go. So we submitted some stuff to government at the beginning of the month, and then they took about 2 weeks, and then they issued another government gazette on the 11th of May, I think it was Wednesday night, or Tuesday night. And this new government gazette allows dealerships to open under specific conditions or directions.
Okay.
The first of which, a phased approach, which means that under phase one, which lasts for the next 2 weeks, dealerships can open with 30% of the staff on their floor, subject to a maximum of one employee or customer per 9 square meters. So I don't know if you know who's going to walk in there with tape measure, but
imagine you're going to be patrolling people and like drawing chalk circles on the floor and people mustn't leave. It's just insane.
If you've got 100 square meter dealership and divide that by 9, then you know how many people you're allowed on your floor, maximum of 30%.
All right, but hang on, George, because I'm a little confused. So they opened up e-commerce yesterday, which means that you could go on and buy stuff from like Take a Lot or whatever. But you're an e-commerce site effectively as well. I mean, you buy and sell cars.
Well, no. So we list them. We list them, and we're a marketplace. We hand over the consumer to the car dealer.
Okay, so you still need to go to the place to. Okay, all right. That's the difference.
That's the difference. Whereas places like Take a Lot actually facilitate the delivery, the stock, all of that stuff. We don't do that. So we're different. We're a marketplace, I suppose we're on the journey to being an e-commerce website.
So you've petitioned government and you're hoping that they'll relax these regulations so that people can go and visit dealerships, because I'm sure there are a lot of people who want to sell and particularly sell, but also occasionally buy cars at the moment, right? I've been thinking about it, frankly.
Well, since the 10th of May, we've had a surge in search on our site. We've had over 1.3 million searches per day since the 10th of May. So consumers want to buy and sell cars. Mm-hmm. There's no doubt. We've had a doubling of inquiries sent through to our car dealers. So this is not for lack of consumer demand. There's definitely consumer demand out there. So this Government Gazette was a good thing. Mm-hmm. It's got three phases. Phase three allows full staff complement for car dealers and kicks in on the 8th of June and remains until level four is lifted. The interesting thing is that phase one and two makes for home deliveries. So home delivery of fully sanitized vehicles. So dealerships can't deliver the car from the dealership. They have to take the car to the consumer.
Sure. Okay.
So that's a good thing. There's one conundrum, though, and that is the licensing departments are not open, and it is rumored that the licensing departments are only going to open on 1st of June. So even if dealerships and consumers can buy and sell cars, how do you take ownership of that car?
Yeah. See, because we're going to have to do that. It was like with the house moving regulations, which they've changed now. So you can actually move house, because if you bought a property and you wanted to move in, or if you were renting and you wanted to move in, you couldn't do it up to recently. So they're going to have to amend that as well at some point.
Yeah, I mean, it shows you how complex this stuff is. And, you've got to really think before making decisions for a country.
Right, absolutely.
Then lighter news. Have you been angry with your boss before, a boss that you've had?
I've always hated every manager I've ever had.
George, are you asking us? No, I have never.
Shut up, Sia. I know you've hated me. I know Leanne has too. So, George, why are you bringing this up? Are you trying to make people uncomfortable?
No. There was a guy, or maybe this will make him feel uncomfortable. I don't know, but I don't really care. There was a guy in Chicago. There was a guy in Chicago in the US that wanted a new truck to drive. He was a truck driver. Yeah. And his boss said no. His boss also failed to pay a lot of the employees that were working for his company. So this guy took his truck and drove it straight into his boss's Ferrari.
Oh my gosh.
Jesus. Well, if you're the boss of the Ferrari and you won't buy your staff a new truck, there's some resentment breeding there.
Yeah, but I thought also could rent around not getting salaries. And then do you know the history of the Datsun motor vehicle? Do you remember Datsun?
Of course I do.
Oh, yeah.
Leanne has several of them passing her house every day dropping off wine.
They're all brown or orange.
Brown Datsun. A Datsun is a hell of a thing, huh? So Datsun, they're still very much in business, though.
Well, Nissan is the owner of the brand Datsun, but Datsun is culling Datsun for the second. So say Nissan is culling Datsun for the second time. Hmm. After retiring the Datsun in 1986, it brought it back under Nissan's brand into developing markets in 2013. Now, 7 years later, Nissan is killing it again.
Mm-hmm.
Here's a bit of the history of Datsun. Datsun traces back to 1914. The original car was called the DAT, D-A-T.
Yes.
Named after an acronym named after the company's partners, Den, Ayuma, and Takushi. In 1931. Takushi. So Dat, in 1931, a smaller successor car was developed, the Son of Dat. So this car was called the Son of Dat. But Dat's son, D-A-T-S-O-N, which was the Son of Dat, had an unfortunate connotation in Japanese because son meant loss in Japanese.
Oh, no.
Yep. And so they changed the name from D-A-T-S-O-N to D-A-T-S-U-N so that there wouldn't be this connotation of loss. Sure. So there goes the Datsun.
Oh, well, Leanne, I know you've always hankered after a brown Datsun 140J, but
yes,
I don't think there are that many available.
One day my prince will come and he'll arrive in one of those.
All right, so that's sad news for Datsun, a brand that people know, even if they didn't love it.
Exactly. So, and then final story, Tesla Model 3 owner has locked a car hijacker inside the car until police arrived to arrest the hijacker. So what this hijacker didn't realize was that you can control this electronic device called the Tesla Model 3 with your smartphone. So he Brilliant. Pitched up at the door of the owner of the car, ordered the owner to get out. The owner got out, obviously, with his smartphone. And as the driver was driving away, the owner took his smartphone out, disabled the car, and then locked the doors, and you can't open them from the inside.
Amazing. I love that. That's so, so cool. I want one just because I want to be able to lock someone in my car, and they think they're stealing my car, and I just lock them down.
Lock them down and lock the car down. That's it.
Well, I've seen on autotrader.co.za, there are plenty of really interesting articles about autonomous vehicles, the way forward, new cars that are on the market, some reviews. You can get it all on autotrader.co.za. And George and his team are busy keeping us entertained and involved in the world of cars while we're under lockdown. The other thing that I haven't stopped thinking about is all the advice that George gave us about what we should be doing with our cars during lockdown. So if you want to hear any of that, you can listen to previous shows. How many weeks has it been now since we've actually seen each other in the studio? Do you remember?
It's been 7 weeks of lockdown, and I was in your studio 2 weeks before that. So it's about nine.
Wow. Almost 10 weeks, George, since we last saw you in person. So it's an unbelievable time. Wow. What a mess. I really hope that we can all get back to some semblance of normality, whatever that might be, and get on with our lives. But for this weekend, enjoy yourself. Everybody behave. We will check in with you on Monday at 6 o'clock, bright and early. Thank you for being a part of our show this morning. Remember, if you want to message us or you want to get hold of us, you can do so, gareth@cliffcentral.com. And be good. We've got some excellent stuff coming up for you. We've got Sean Donovan, who's the TBWA president for Asia, who spoke to me earlier this week, and some other exciting things on the lineup for cliffcentral.com. If you missed yesterday's burning platform, you do need to listen to that. And more than that, you also need to tell your friends and family to listen to it. Not only is it extraordinarily insightful, but it's also an episode that will, I think, relieve some of the heaviness around questions of what next, what now, where are we headed. France Crenier, my guest yesterday, was just absolutely on fire. So go and spread that around as far and wide as you can. All right, everybody, have a good day. We'll check you out on Monday, bright and early, 6 o'clock.
Feeling my way through the darkness. CliffCentral.com